Welcome to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, where we share our questionable choices so you can learn from them, or at least laugh at them.
I'm busy, meticulously planning my way through life, but somehow still managing to trip over my own strategies.
I'm well-read. If there's a book about it, I've read it, annotated it, and yet somehow still ignored all the advice.
And I'm Tall Girl. I operate almost exclusively on gut instinct and mild overconfidence.
Together, we dissect life's greatest mishaps, because what's wisdom without a little humiliation first?
So grab a drink, water, wine, or whatever fuels your personal brand of chaos, and let's get into it.
On today's episode, we're diving into mistakes that shaped us. The ones we should have seen coming, the ones that somehow worked out anyway. Let's unpack the chaos. I love when people are like, you seem so grown up. I'm like, oh my,
no.
Did you get that wrong?
It's a delusion. My sweet summer children. All right, so let's dive into it today. Let's start with the I definitely should have known better moments. Now, I think we can kind of categorize these as the red flags. Some of us also see that as a challenge, and instead of running away from them,
stop talking about me. That's just rude.
I was going to say, what are we personally tackling each other? And then I realized, like, oh, no, she's just.
I was talking about myself, but I mean,
we all have a little bit of trigger on this topic.
I think I've won the red flag game in the last 10 years or so.
Just, do tell why. Just so we know why. On a detailed list.
Yeah. Dating your ex-boyfriend. Don't do that, guys. Don't go back and date your ex-boyfriend. It's called a breakup for a reason. It's broken. Don't try to fix it.
Don't do that.
Don't do
that. For our listeners who made other choices, go you. Glad it worked out.
If it works out for you, fantastic. But for the 90% of us it doesn't work out for, stay away. That's one red flag that I charge towards with all my blinders on. Working for any company that calls itself a family.
Oh, we're family. We need you to work all the hours of a day. Did you sleep at your desk? Great.
Yeah.
But why did you sleep?
Yep. So those are just some of my I definitely should have known better moments.
I tend to befriend people, and you guys are so surprised when I say this, but I have this, like, I don't pick up stray animals, I pick up stray people thing, because sometimes through no fault of your own, like, friends get married, you move somewhere, so when somebody's alone and it's like, I have no friends, I always kind of feel bad for them, because I know what it is to have amazing friends, and I'm always like, but you could be great. Some of them have turned out
less than stellar.
There's a reason they're alone, usually by their own choice. But I think of it, if I was ever like, if you guys ever weren't around and if I was ever truly alone, I would want somebody to take 10 seconds to try.
But first of all, if the two of us are not around and you have not thrown yourselves into the depths of despair, but you have enough time to find other friends, how dare you? How?
Golden Girls, that Blanche made a date at her husband's funeral. Sometimes you need to get over your grief in productive ways.
Oh.
Look, you guys evaporate from this earth, and I'm really sad, but in the same moment, somebody tells me I just inherited a blueberry farm. I'm going to be conflicted, but I'm going to carry on with the blueberry farm.
Who do you know that's just going to give you a blueberry farm? Where
no
is
people? You don't know blueberry farm people? I know blueberry farm people.
Well, of course you do.
Not blueberry farm people, which might be another red flag, but
that is true. That is, especially when you eat too many and they, I don't know, cause a problem in your body, but you don't seem to, your red flag is a blue flag.
It's true.
It really is.
Look, if my most unhealthy addiction is kale, blueberries, vegetables of all fermented varieties, I think I'm good.
No, I mean, to be fair, in all kidding aside, Red's sister, like a week or so ago, they were talking about death, And Red was telling her how the two of us talk about death all the time. And her sister said, we need to die on the same day because
Lives
basically
will be unbearable.
the other one would be so inconsolable. But we've talked about this. She knows what her routine is supposed to be, what I expect if I go first, what I expect her to do at my funeral, the outfits to wear, what is expected. And we've both said that while we know, and I think this goes for you too, while we appreciate and expect some mourning, that we don't want you to be that type of friend. It's like, I can't go on in life because busy and tall on around. Hell no, go live the life for all of us. Cause some problems, be that, sarcastic old woman, do the stuff that I would have done. But if you take on other best friends, I will come and
Oh,
haunt you both.
hell no. Hell, you can
Both.
know other people. You can loosely associate with them, but from the grave.
I will be moving stuff in your apartment.
I
I will
will move
do.
your apartment. I'm not moving a vase. I will move your apartment if you try to BFF it in your later years.
Red, your coffee is going to taste like crap. Tall girl, you're just going to have strings showing up everywhere as I channel your mother. Like, it's going to be full on beyond the grave war. Like, just know that. I mean, so like, make friends, but if they're your besties, I am coming for you with all my death energy I can.
I'm just going to bring you guys back to life. I will necromance the crap out of you.
I just imagine it being like
You're
practical
not like
magic,
Twilight
and I'm
either.
like,
I don't want to glitter in the sun. Like, can I pick
no.
the necromance version of me?
Can't, just
Of
let me
course.
die. Just like, listen, now that I found out that asteroid is not going to be hitting us, or it's getting like the chances, I'm like
You
really
don't know. A
disappointed.
comet could hit an asteroid and knock it back into trajectory. Why are you so negative about these things?
It's just the way I am right now.
Neil
Just
Tyson deGrasse
disappointed.
is not always right. He's not always right. Sometimes Pluto, as an example.
You leave Pluto alone. He's been through enough in this little world. He was a
Yes, he's
planet.
agreeing
He
with you.
wasn't.
Neil
He's been.
deGrasse Tyson said that it wasn't a planet. He was incorrect.
He's been. You leave Pluto alone.
I love Pluto. Pluto's my planet.
All right. I'm just saying.
I'm not picking on it. Even when certain people weren't calling it a planet, I was.
I was too.
If and when I commit, I stay committed. Pluto's going to be a planet for forever.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of any red flags of my own. I'm sure I have them. I feel like I see red. I feel like she's like.
Is. I told you guys I win the red flag category.
I think I like I make them, but then I talk myself out of them pretty quick. But also I tend to carry buckets of common sense on some things. The really dumb things I do and I do well. I live up to the blonde aspect of my life in full force, but yeah, it's weird because you're the most like logical forethought of us, but like
I'm sorry, who?
red.
Me. Yeah.
So when she like does it
Full force.
fantastically well.
Jam
Full
the
force.
torpedoes. Full speed ahead. I run headlong into anything that is probably going to be a bad idea. Not anything, but lots of things that are probably going to be bad ideas.
But in fairness, like I trip over nonsensical things all day, every day. You like bank them up.
I
Maybe you
do,
have to make
and
smaller
I know that
deposits
it's
into
going to
stupid.
go wrong. I know that it's going to end not well for me, but I do it anyway because, why not?
But what's it? It's worth the fall? Anna Green Gables? Like.
You know how many times she falls? Do you know how many times
No,
she
she
ends up
like
with
base
her
jumps
ankle sprained,
from
her
the top
knee?
of like, Mount Everest. She doesn't just fall. She's not like, oops, oh.
I paraglide, and it's often bumpy on the way down.
Bumpy.
Like a flying squirrel, just hits a
Like
tree.
Wile E. Coyote level, like face plant.
It
There's just a little well-read like shape in the desert for where we collapsed.
That's fair. All right, so then what about near disasters that worked out?
legally or the ones we shouldn't talk about on air?
Oh, okay.
Let's go with the ones that we should, let's not go with the ones that we should stay away from.
Do we believe that police officers listen to our podcast?
Well,
All right, here's a simple one. It's nothing crazy, but when you've done a long day of driving, and it was probably too late, and blessings on new technology in my car, where it's like, hey, you're getting too close to something, because it turns out after driving for 10, 11 hours, my eyes got a little tired, and luckily the car was like, idiot, you're getting too close to someone at the speed you're going, and I woke up. So like that was a near miss, and I was like, ooh, if there's any guardian angels, spirits, whatever is like my bad, that was on me. And it was like 10 minutes from my house too. So it was close. I was like, all right, good. I'm up, I'm awake. Apparently, I like that little near-death feel in the evening. So that was like a near disaster recently. Not recently, past 6, 7 months. That worked out.
You're
But
never allowed to buy a car that doesn't have that in it.
if anything, we want it to be louder and more frequent.
What about you, Tall?
I'm trying to think of one I can talk about. I tend to get into stupid circumstances, but it's always like, I don't know. They were fun, and I was underage, so I don't think I can be held responsible for any of them. But, like, okay, but like underage. I went out to parties and I went out to clubs. And in our day, New York City didn't card the way they used to. So you're of an age where you should not be in some of these environments. And I mean, we had cell phones, but they weren't like locating cell phones. So, like,
Yep.
technically, you could have called somebody, but you also wouldn't have called anybody, or like you had to convince a cabbie to like get you out into the middle of Queens Warehouse District. Like, none of the cabbies wanted to go, but that's where you needed to be, kind of.
I also don't think it was as, from my perspective, I don't think the way I am now with friends and family when they go out, or I know they're going out whether I'm with them or not, and I say, please let me know when you get there, let me know when you get back. I don't think it was as common when we were younger. Like it was kind of like you were going out into the world and let's see if you come back. Like from my perspective.
I definitely think that let me know when you get where you're supposed to be going, or let me know when you get home, comes from our younger trauma, having had stuff happen to people who are in the warehouse district and, at 14, 15 years old and not to be.
But of course, I never did any of that.
No.
No. No.
And I never went to Limelight.
None of us did. None of us went to a former church converted into a club that had questionable morals going on there. None of
Correct.
us.
No.
I mean, I think it's just I got rid of my truly stupid stuff, and not like I was planning on it, but like I got all my stupid stuff out of the way before I like turned 18. By the time I got to uni, I was kind of like, okay, like I'm gonna buckle down now because like now I can be an adult, now I'm in charge of my stuff. I just.
Have time to worry about being stupid and
You guys were all so grown up. Like, I was a kid. I
yeah,
was a
you had that.
kid. You guys were
I did some
parents.
stupid stuff.
We were worried about the mortgages. I mean, I kid, but not totally, but somewhat.
I still did some stupid stuff despite the fact that I was thinking about adult things at a young age. Getting too drunk to stand up
No.
and allowing myself to be walked home by three guys. There are so many ways that that could have gone wrong. And because I chose my friends well, that did not go wrong. However, we've
I'm
also
just
done
going to
worse.
ask, did you know the guys? Okay.
Oh, yeah. To their credit.
I mean, I got to college and we started to pay one of our friends in pizza and wings. Like, we would go to parties And he would watch us like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday, we would buy him unlimited wings, take out whatever. It was like, you keep an eye, because he wasn't a drinker, like, you keep an eye on us at these parties, and we in return will feed you all day Sunday, kind of thing. Like, if we've all made it back to the dorms and we're all alive, you get hot wings, which is a weird trade against the value of your life, but like,
But if you think about
I'm
it as
alive. Here's 12 chicken tenders.
they're thinking about in the form of like a college male student who gets an option of eating food from off campus, yeah, it makes sense. It had value.
And
You
considering a
negotiated
lot of those
well.
parties had some shady people at them, shall we say?
No.
There, that Gatorade container that you don't drink from.
Ding, ding,
That
ding.
entire punch bowl that you were specifically told is not your beverage. This is why you also made friends with the people hosting the party, because you knew what to and to not. To this day, as a grown adult, even at like business mixers, I will order something with like a bottle. I don't drink beer, but I will order something with a bottle top and put my finger over it, depending on where I am. Or I'll
Oh, yeah.
pay a bartender to put water in a glass that looks like a highball. They're like, "What, you drinking vodka?" I'm like, "As long as you think that's what it is, yep, that's what I'm drinking." Yeah. I mean, like, look, in fairness, everybody in my neighborhood was old when I was growing up. I used to, like, my mom did not know where I was. I would go from house to house to house because, like, one was a photographer for National Geographic, the other one was a retired dentist, the other one was a painter. Like, they were really fascinating people, but, like, as a kid, I would go hang out in their homes and my mom had no idea where I was. So, for like a couple hours a day, did I lock myself in the house with a grown adult that wasn't my parent? Like, yeah. I
I
came
mean,
out
I
of it
think.
with like a hell of an education, but apparently, like years later, my mom was like, "Yeah, there were times when I went looking for you and nobody knew where you were."
I think of somewhat like I grew up in this. I started in the city, and then we moved when I was older. But my childhood best friend and I, we had our backyards next to each other, and there was a gate between us. The parents put a gate between us. So we were just running back and forth up and down the streets in a city by ourselves under 10, like up and down the streets, down to the local bodega, like just up and running around. Like they knew in the general area where we could be, but there was no, confirmation of life. And when I think
Oh,
about it now, I'm
you
like,
got home when the street lamps came on.
My neighbor had an actual triangle bell, so the whole neighborhood knew to get your asses home.
We didn't do street lights or cops in all the towns nearby. They let off the fire, like the emergency siren goes off at 6 o'clock for like two beeps. It's like in the summer, sometimes the street lights don't come on until like 9 o'clock, so that wasn't the thing. They all go off at 6 o'clock, so like everybody in my town knows home to get home at six. But
Yeah,
yeah,
fair enough.
I mean, I had like an 8 block radius of where I would have been, but there are a lot of people in an 8 block radius. Yeah. I mean, I still walk up to total strangers like, "I find you fascinating. Tell me things."
I mean, we know I can't be left alone in public.
I mean, you could, because there's like a CIA profiler, like a nice dossier on these people, give you 20
Oh,
minutes.
give me a profiler or something along those lines, then I cannot be in public. No, absolutely not. Tell me about your life. I want to know what it is you do.
No,
But
I have like three questions. I'm like, "Okay, tell me about this outfit choice." Okay. "Tell me, do you have more of these outfits at home?" And now this is, this is busy. She'll talk to you for the next 45 minutes. I'm out.
yeah, this is busy. She's gonna get down into some deep family breakdown and what did you want to be when you were a child? Maybe going back to the red flag question, I am the red flag. Like maybe that's
You are
maybe.
not. You're not the red flag.
Oh,
If you will find the red flag if one exists.
I don't know. I think I might be the. If there's no flag around, isn't it like if you
Oh,
look
if
around and
there's
there's.
no asshole in the room.
If there's no flag around, maybe I am the flag. Things to consider.
I'm a gosh
Everything
darn
around me is
delight.
a red
That's all I
flag.
know.
All right, so what about things that we've actually learned? This one I have a good one for me.
Okay, I still make low-level mistakes all the time.
Obviously, we all do. I'm
Because,
not
like,
saying
I'm
obviously to
still,
you,
like,
I'm saying.
despite some of the people who've wanted to put me at the bottom of a well with lotion, I'm still like, hi, new person, let's be friends. But I also tend, like, I tend to hate making the same mistake twice. So for the bigger things, like, and that's how we could have burned down the house, I will not repeat the same mistake over and over again. I tend to make plans to avoid in future. You guys have seen some of the lists, like how to avoid terrible vacations. I now have an entire spreadsheet with tabs and subdirectories.
As you should.
You can only
As
go to so many terrible bachelorette parties before you really just like give up and you're like, no.
just let me play. I would say for me, things that we've actually learned, I'm gonna pivot to professional, that while there was a couple years where I was moving well in my career and positions were coming to me. And salary was going up, and I was happy with that progress, but I was not putting the time in to, with intention, upskill. Like I was still learning stuff and moving in my career and, progressing, but I was not being as intentional as I could be. So I think that the past 5, 6 years, I've been more trying to be intentional and recognize that there was a lot of years of missed learning that I could have done. And it's not meaning that you have to go back to school. It just means maybe it's just networking better. Maybe it's reading articles, magazines, websites, whatnot in your profession. If it is, education, for me, it was certifications that I wanted to complete, partly because I was pushed into a career. By a manager, and I was like, oh, this makes sense for me. Why didn't I know this sooner? So the certification for me was to validate, like that I knew what I was talking about. So for me, that has been something where just because you might be doing well, don't stop upskilling, don't stop networking, don't stop looking for connections. So, like when I made that pivot and with intention, my first focus was finding people who had the job title that I was looking for. Find creators who put information out there, connect with my local chapters on stuff, professional organizations. And now I'm trying to pivot in a different industry. So now I've applied that again, finding people in that industry, finding creators in that industry as well, like to move with intention. And also, I would also say if you are at a point where you feel stuck, look for if you don't have it at your current job, professional coaches, because investing my in that a few times, I've always been at the time where I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I really have the money right now. This is maybe not the best time to do this, and I've done it, and it led me to a person who led me to a coach, who led me to a creator, who led me, and all the little dots point together and hoping to, turn out to be a continuous growth in my career. So that's something I would say that learn to continuously invest in yourself.
In fairness, nobody teaches you how to business. Like, we go to uni, we're taught to get a job. Nobody ever tells you. And even we were in a sorority, so we kind of knew how, like, office BS was going to go. But, like, nobody really tells you how to negotiate a salary. And nobody can prepare you for that moment where you have to stand up for yourself with 2 years of experience. Like, contrary to every other relationship, it's like, well, if you're dating, you shouldn't be trying to date other people, but at work, you should be working, but you should also be spending an extra 8 hours at home trying to find another job. It's like you especially seem to turn like work into family. Like with one of your jobs, we were like, you can't do that. Like you could be on the chopping block. You gotta trust. And we were like, they are not your friends. When it comes down to it, you're a line on an Excel spreadsheet. They will cut you kind of thing. But that's the danger of like companies that are like, we are family. And nobody really explains how they do it because it's like, of course you're not family. But 8 hours a day later, you have a work wife, you have a work husband, you like your office, you're comfortable with your commute, like, the good baklava place is right around the corner, and you're kind of settled. You're like, this is okay. And this is what you're taught to like, but I'm happy. Why would I go look for something else? Why would I spend all this time on an extra certification? Like, I'm getting raises. They're telling me I'm doing good. Yay. Why would I give this up to start at the bottom again, kind of thing? There are conversations that people don't have until you're in it. And at that point, you're in it 5 years plus, and you're like, oh, like I had a job when I was in high school, and this woman was like, I'm going to mentor you. She was aggressive. She is now who I am. I now admit that I have become her in business. But like at the time, I was like, I don't care what the guys in the office think about me. Like, you got to dominate the space and you got to be an alpha in the conference room. And this is how you got to negotiate. And I'm like, why? And then you get into business and you're like, if I don't do those things, nobody is going to hear me. Nobody's going to listen to me. And I am definitely not going to get the raises I deserve. Whereas, the little jackass walks into the office and is like, I want a raise. And they're like, sure, Dave, you do nothing but get a reward anyway. Like, that's the stuff. Like, those are the mistakes, but you have to live through them to get there because I got told very early on, like, this is the game and this is how it's rigged. And then for 5 years, I was like, I'm going to play the game my way. No, you're not. No, you're not. But now, like, when negotiating for things, like, oh, we don't negotiate on salary. Cool. I negotiate on PTO. Here are my solids. Like, I can walk away from this job opportunity. You need my talent way more than I need you. Except for like the three companies in New Jersey with the pension if you're hiring, hi. I'd love to work from you on any level of capacity whatsoever to everybody else. Like, ultimately, the money, whatever, one way or another, within range. But no, I'm going to negotiate for something like vacation days or number of days in office or, reimbursement mileage for travel, something. And people, like, that's not something anybody tells you, or they tell you as a theoretical. But then when you're negotiating via email with somebody in HR who's like, it's all stuff you're not taught. There needs to be a common sense for careers. But
I think
unfortunately,
it's being told more now. I think that it also there was a shift starting that we were not aware of people, our parents, you worked with a company. You were with the company until you wanted to leave or death or retirement. And so I think those days are gone. So I think we were, starting to see that transition, and I think people now with social media can hear more of this information that we're talking about now, that younger kids can talk about, and I think that we probably talk to our nieces and nephews about, even if they're too young to be in the work phase, but just to be aware of, like anything else. And so, yeah, I think that's something that I learned. Read anything from you?
I actually have a book to recommend. It was recommended to me by a friend, and it proved to be helpful when I transitioned from a non-corporate job to a corporate job. The Millennial's Guide to Work
Bye.
by Jennifer P. Wisdom.
Say it again.
Excellent book. I have annotated it. I have sticky notes. It is really an eye-opener, especially when you have never had, quote unquote, a real job before. It talks about how to negotiate and how to assert yourself and how to it, the only thing that I wish it had a little bit more of is talking about things from a female to male perspective. It does do quite a good job of that, but I would like a little bit more just to kind of take the rough edges off of things that women are not necessarily as comfortable doing as men might be.
Such
Like,
as
for example, apply to the job. Even if you
Yes,
only meet
everything.
75% of the criteria for the job, you're not losing anything by applying for it. Women will say, well, I don't meet all of the criteria, so I'm not going to apply. Whereas guys tend to go, well, I meet 50%, I might as well. And it's one of those things that nobody tells you when you're starting to apply for jobs. Apply for the job. They may, you may not be qualified enough. They may pass you over, but at least you've put yourself out there
And
and
you
you have.
also, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was saying you also don't know, like they may say, no, you might not be good for this. Maybe something on your resume. They say, hey, you might not be good, but would you be interested in X? And they have another possible role.
Yeah, that happened to me recently. I applied for one job and they said, we also have this job. Would you like to be for this job or for this job? And I got to choose which track I wanted to walk down, which was pretty cool. So I definitely recommend The Millennial's Guide to Work by Jennifer P. Wisdom for everybody out there. I think it's good for, it does say millennials, but I think it's good for everyone from Gen X on down. It teaches you how to do the things that we were talking about that nobody teaches you how to do in university or high school.
And also, even if you don't have the skills or capacity, if the HR interviewer likes you, the last three jobs I got, I would have told you I wasn't getting the jobs because I had a really fun conversation with the people to the point that it was like, oh, we could go like have a drink afterwards. And I was like, oh, no, there's no way I'm getting this job. Those are the jobs I always get. And they're like, because we liked you as a person. And I'm like, they don't tell you that. Like, they don't tell you to bring your personality to the interview. And it's like, that's actually, I think, how I've won most of my jobs is like, no, we like you because you actually made a facial expression at some point.
I think it's balance. You don't think I don't need to be all of me, but
No.
yes, show that you know what they might be seeing every day in the office or on remote or whatever, bring some of you, don't be some cookie cutter. And I don't know, and that's not everyone can't always do this, so I recognize that not everyone is comfortable letting some of their personality out or are expressive with theirs. But I think if you are able to express some of your personality, make a joke. I always like to see where they are if we're doing a remote interview, where are you in the world? And talk about something with that and like connect in some levels in
A
that way.
conversation. Have a conversation. I think that's the key to any job interview, to any networking scenario that you have, is to have a conversation versus question and answer format. If you're in an interview and it's just question and answer format, all you're doing is answering their questions, you're not doing it right. There's got to be some discussion about the points that you're bringing up in answer to their questions, or have questions for them. If again, if you're not bringing questions to an interview yourself, at least five about this company or about this job, you don't,
Maybe
they
this
look
is not
at that as a
the one
lack
for
of
you.
interest.
I also say, even like in networking groups, like you're all there because you're the Builders Association of Des Moines. Like, you all know building stuff. Bring any other conversation to the table and you will make friends with a room of strangers. If you're going to talk about the load-bearing structure of whatever, like, I could stay at work and have that conversation. Why did I come here for bacon-wrapped scallops and this conversation kind of thing? Even at weddings, like when I don't know people, when I'm the only one, it's like, tell me about you. People will not shut up if you ask them about themselves. It's the easiest way to be like, okay, I have nobody to talk to. I will talk to you by asking you about you. And oh my God, then I wish you were there with me to be like, hey, and busy.
And my friend, Red and I were at the last wedding. Red and I were at for our the three of our mutual friend, and one of the attendees from the others, from one of the groom's side, found out we're both looking and like was talking to us, and we like went off for 20 minutes into another room, and he started interviewing us about what we like in the middle of the wedding. I'm like, okay, but people are leave it, and it was great, and it was networking and all, but it was just like, I'd like to get back to dancing, and drinking a bit amount of alcohol because I'm not driving. So I'd like to get back to party, please.
I mean, that is also a wise decision, and you've learned from it. Set a
Yes.
healthy boundary and sometimes don't interview fully incapacitated.
To be fair, I think he was well past inebriated, so that was part of trying to cut off the, like, hey, let's go back to the party. All right, and let's think about, what about any ultimate bad decisions?
Okay, so I get like the, oh, if you could go back to when you were 12 and like, what would you change kind of stuff. I'm like, but ultimately it landed me here. Like, okay, I love there's those TikToks, like you wake up and it's like 1987 and like, what are you gonna do? And I'm like, well, wait for my diaper change. But beyond that, like it's, I don't want to go back because all the stupid mistakes, all the embarrassing things, all the stories I've told you guys leads to this. And I like this, as chaotic and terrible as it can be sometimes. Like, I like it. Well, if I could go back, I'd become a neurosurgeon. I'm like, have you seen neurosurgeons? They don't always look so happy. Like, I don't know if I would have met you. Like, had I gone to school elsewhere, I don't know that I would have met you. I don't know that we would have ended up as friends. So it's like,
Oh, look, I could lead this moment back to the preschool and grade school my parents put me in. I could find how a decision affected, and so on and so forth, that led me to knowing you two. And so, like, I agree that I think there are things, though, that you can look back and say, all right, again, like we said previously, we are all doing with the best we can with what we had at the time and all that. But I think for me, in, I would say, probably romantic relationships, I would say for me, one of the things that I've learned, I have always, again, first born L disorder, feel like I need to have everything in my life together. So I feel like I've always had to have all my, my trauma, my hang-ups, all that stuff fixed and organized before it is fair to go towards anyone else, because they're, but I know, okay, I know that
your
now.
moment in your life when you think everything is going to perfectly be organized, aligned, contained, dealt with, and therapized?
I didn't think perfect. I never have expected perfect from me or from anyone else. But I felt that there were certain things I needed to address, I would say. I don't want to say fix, but address in my life before it would be fair to be a partner for someone else. And in later years, have figured out that yes, there are things you have to be aware of and work on, but part of when you find a good romantic partner is that you help each other and you support each other, and maybe what I am needing help in, they might be better in, and vice versa, so that we could help and support each other and grow. So that's something I think for me that I think that also, that comes from having to take care of so much that I feel that, I had to be. Bring my A as close to my A plus game as possible without realizing, hey, that's unrealistic.
Without realizing that most people bring their C minus game to dating.
That's fine. And
Where
that's
could they find
like,
those catches?
yeah.
Share, girl, share. There's a whole lot of F minuses never even got to school grade level. Like,
It's absolutely true.
ooh.
And that's fine because you know what? I have seen people who may be on what we're saying, that like their F level, but when you find the right person, you can help each other bring your grade up together, if we're just going with that analogy. So I don't think that it's impossible, but I think for me, I felt that I had to have everything fixed and or at least addressed and dissected, so that when someone was with me, they would know what they were getting into. But we also know that there is no way to prepare anyone who would be with me what fresh hell might be coming their way. The chaos just comes.
Dude, have you Let's just look at some of the people we know and recognize that you are not the hot mess express you think you are.
How dare you not give me that title? I think that is very rude and
You're not even on the platform. You're considering buying tickets to the Hot Mess Express, but you're still home on the couch with a Snuggie. Like, you're not. You're just not.
I
I'm the
think
one who got to tell you you're a control freak. I also get to tell you how little of a Hot Mess Express you are.
we will have to agree to disagree on that one.
See, this is how we learn.
Listen, when she told me that I was less of a hot mess than I thought I was, it took me a while to learn that lesson, but I did learn it and it's made me better for it. So.
Ugh, growth is happening. I feel it. We're
Oh.
talking. Ugh, this is uncomfortable. This is weird and vulnerable. Time to go.
You're just talking about growth, baby.
Your
Weird.
mental health improving?
Oh, God. It feels like there's a million things crawling on me right now.
Oh,
I think ultimately, Tal, you're right. It comes down to the decisions that you've made make you the person that you are. And if you're 60% happy with your self and where you are, you know, you've probably hit the jackpot. We all have things that we'd like to be better at. We all have things that we would like to not have done. We all have our regrets. We all have our, oh geez, I can't believe I ever did that moment. But when it comes down to it, hopefully you've learned the lessons that you needed to learn from those situations. You don't repeat those mistakes and you live your life to the best of your ability.
And if you're not happy with where you are,
And if you're
then
not where you are, yeah.
hopefully you are in a position for either yourself or to ask people around you, how do I get past this?
I tend to not make as many relationship mistakes because I kind of take it for what it is, but I also don't strive for commitment. I am at best going in at 50%, so I'm still friends with my exes because I think at the time we got what we needed out of each other, but like I wasn't trying to get married, neither were they. So I think because we walked in honestly, and when it kind of fizzled out, we walked out honestly. So it wasn't as bad. Instead of being there and like, okay, but by 27, you better put a ring on it. Like, we didn't put that pressure on ourselves. So, like, I think it's just, I don't have that, but I think I have this like, there's so much to learn and there's so much to do and there's so many things you can do and there's so many things you can commit to. I want to go to everything and I want to do everything and I want to experience everything and like, life is so darn exciting. Look at how many things I send you guys. Like, we should do this and this and this and this and this. And if I ever hit lotto, we will do all of them. But it's also like, I can't help everybody. I can't help every charity. I can't, like, I learned not to be a workaholic because I was like, not only am I going to work, I am going to be the bestest worker who ever worked. And it's like, and then you don't talk to your friends for 6 weeks. And then you have an ulcer at 25, and then your ulcer gets ulcers by 27, and it's bad.
Definitely think that there's something to be said for the neurodivergent, shall we say, way of looking at, I'm going to give it my all, I'm going to give it my 100%. That doesn't mean the same thing to non-neurospicy people. Giving it your all or giving it your 100% means that you have to give in that moment versus actually all of you. And I think that there's definitely a lesson to be learned in that. Yeah, you can be the bestest worker that the company will ever see. However, you will give up your life to do it.
And even then, I mean, it's just one of, basically, it's just like you get to a place in life when you realize like you have to go through it and all the little bumps and all the little whatever. Like, I ideally, like, yes, I have this path where everything just comes to me. And by this milestone and this milestone and this milestone, it's like, yes, but if I didn't cry under my desk those 2 times, like, I don't think I would be like stronger at the office to tell people to just like piss off. If I didn't have all this like exhaustion, whatever, like I probably wouldn't have figured out how to set a boundary. Now it's like, here's my boundaries, here's my expectations, here's my salary requirements, like, here's what I expect of my friends kind of stuff. And that only comes after years and years of constantly screwing up. Like, okay, I've screwed up now. Now people think I have it together, but I'm like, but let me explain to you exactly how many mistakes it took me to get here. And I still don't have it together.
I don't think we ever will, and that's fine.
Yeah, it's
That
that myth of having it all, right?
I think that, I mean, as long as you have, if you can have good people around you, so that even when you don't have it all, if you do get it all, wonderful. I'm congratulations. I think that if people can achieve everything they want in life and actually be authentically happy, wonderful. I think we all would love to strive for that. But if it doesn't happen and life goes sideways a lot of times, I think it all comes down to, just who's with you to navigate the storm and how you get out of it as best you can.
And to not get overloaded while trying to figure it all out.
Absolutely. Keeping yourself balanced and being happy with the really good things that you got.
Like us? You're right. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Oh no, I could have gone to a different college. I could have never met you guys, and that would have made my life poorer.
So much poorer. Basically empty, an empty vessel of just endless regrets.
Right, and that's a wrap on today's episode of Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos. Join us next week for decision fatigue and choice overload.
If you enjoyed this, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or at least tell a friend who loves good conversation and even better debates.
You can find us at sensesensibilitychaos.com, TikTok as long as it lasts, YouTube, Blue Sky, and your favorite podcast platforms, where we'll be continuing the conversation, sharing extra thoughts, and probably spiraling into a little chaos.
Because honestly, what's life without a little bit of that?
See you next time.
Until then, stay sensible.